When we left, I walked away with Miss Waterford, and the fine day in her new hat persuaded us to saunter through the park. "That was a very nice party," I said.
"Did you think the food was good?"
I told her that if she wanted writers, she must feed them well. "Admirable advice," I answered. "But why does she want them?" Miss Waterford shrugged her shoulders. "She finds them amusing. She wants to be in the movement. I fancy she's rather simple, poor dear, and she thinks we're all wonderful. After all, it pleases her to ask us to luncheon, and it doesn't hurt us. I like her for it." Looking back, I think that Mrs. Strickland was the most harmless of all the lion hunters that pursue their quarry from the rarefied heights of Hampstead to the nethermost studies of Cheyne Walk. She had led a very quiet youth in the country, and the books that came down from Mudie's library brought with them not only their own romance, but the romance of London. She had a real passion for reading, rare in her kind, who for the most part are more interested in the author than in his book, in the painter than in his pictures, and she invented a world of the imagination in which she lived with a freedom she never acquired in the world of every day. When she came to know writers, it was like adventuring upon a stage which till then she'd only known from the other side of the footlights. She saw them dramatically, and rarely seemed herself to live a larger life because she entertained them and visited them in their fastnesses. She accepted the rules with which they played the game of life as valid for them, but never for a moment thought of regulating her own conduct in accordance with them. Their moral eccentricities, like their oddities of dress, their wild theories and paradoxes, were an entertainment which amused her, but had not the slightest influence on her convictions. "Is there a Mr. Strickland?" I asked. "Oh, yes, he's something in the city. I believe he's a stockbroker. He's very dull." "Are they good friends?" "They adore one another. You'll meet him if you dine there. But she doesn't often have people to dinner. He's very quiet. He's not in the least interested in literature or the arts." "Why do nice women marry dull men?"
Because intelligent men won't marry nice women."
I could not think of any retort to this, so I asked if Mrs. Strickland had children.
"Yes, she has a boy and a girl. They're both at school."
The subject was exhausted, and we began to talk of other things.